Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com. It is April the 27th, Tuesday, 2021, and I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on with me. Now, Jim, we talked before the show. I'm going to let you just pick it up and roll with it.
Well, Stu, I think there are two very, very big stories out there that we ought to discuss. One has to do with the shooting in Columbus, Ohio, where this 16-year-old girl was attacking another girl. They were both black. The 16-year-old, a much larger girl, I'd say she was twice the size of the other, was wearing like blue jeans and a black top, whereas the girl she was attacking was in a kind of a pink sweatsuit and holding a little dog. Now, it's become very controversial because individuals like LeBron James have gone after the cop. He put up a tweet that said, "You're next," with a little hourglass photograph of the officer and accountability. But it's been backfiring massively because this was clearly a justified shoot. And not only do we have the officer's own, body cam, but we have the footage from across the street, a military veteran whose security camera filmed the whole incident. His name is Donovan Brinson, and he reported he believed that the larger black gal, whose name is Mahia Bryant, could have fatally stabbed the younger girl she was lunging at her with a knife if police hadn't opened fire. Now, I really think there isn't any room for doubt about it, Stu, that if he had not shot, she had a very large knife. She was clearly in an attack mode and about to stab her with a plunging down motion that would have gone in her neck and her chest, and I suspect would have killed her, when the officer opened fire. Now, he shot her a couple of times, and I think very, very appropriately under the circumstances. Now, even black commentators are having trouble discrediting this one. We got Leonard Pitts, for example, in the Wisconsin State Journal, talking about how the officer rolled up over a melee in full swing, that a girl goes sprawling to the pavement when a guy's kicking her. This is one of the odd features of the situation. I'll return to this. This Mahia charges at another girl, knife in hand. That girl is backing up against the car, nowhere to go. Reardon fires four shots. Now, what he leaves out there is that she had her hand up and was about to stab her. And that they're, of course, both black. So here you have a white police officer saving the life of a black girl by shooting another black girl when the other black girl was attacking her and about to, in my opinion, kill her or at least seriously damage her. We have some other reports from Democrat propagandists. For example, Ohio activist Carla Yukita accused officials of rushing to make accusations, rushing to make excuses for Reardon, who is a police officer. But, I mean, there's no need to make any excuses here. I mean, he was performing his duty to protect and serve. Then you have Joy Reid, who's an MSNBC propagandist. I cannot abide this woman, saying he should have talked the teenage girls down. Talked the teenage girls down, and you have to question whether she'd even looked at the video footage, because there was no talking. I mean, this is a violent incident. It happened in a split second. The officer, in my judgment, acted completely appropriately. Now, LeBron James did this incredibly stupid thing it incited thereby a tsunami of backlash when he tweeted and then deleted the photo of the Columbus cop with a caption that said, "You're next," and the little hourglass suggesting his time was short to live. He was immediately blasted for suggesting the police were wrong to defend the other girl in the incident, who likely would have been a stabbing victim had the cop not acted as he did. Multiple video angles of the incident have now surfaced, contradicting the narrative that spread in the initial hours, where even an aunt was claiming that she didn't have a knife there, as though this were an unjustified shoot, and where, you know, the Columbus mayor, really, Andrew Ginther, observed, "We know based on this footage, the officer took action to protect the young girl in our community." Now, what I like about this, Stu, is that it just puts the lie to the Democrats' defund the police agenda. Frankly, if the cop hadn't been there, this larger girl would have, in my opinion, murdered the other girl. Or if you wanted to claim that it wasn't, you know, an intentional, then you could say at least a second degree murder here is taking place. It just shows that the police have a terribly important function to play in our society by serving and protecting. It's not a case of a white officer shooting an unarmed black man, where there are an awful lot out there who have the wrong idea. I think that's a very common occurrence, when in fact it's a rather rare occurrence. There are, we have in Minneapolis, for example, a BLM. I don't want to say we need to start killing all white folks, but maybe they need to feel the pain and the hurt. It turns out an awful lot of these people are very, very ignorant of the facts of the matter. You have this gonzo journalist and filmmaker, Amy Horowitz, interviewing several persons attending a memorial to get their takes on things like burning the city down and using violence against white people, where their responses will surprise no one. This is a George Floyd memorial. Burn the whole city down. What does it matter? One of the women asks. I say, burn the city down, you know, so they can see that we're here. One of the women went on to say Derek Chauvin should not have received a trial at all. There shouldn't even be a trial. He should just be convicted just as if, and this showing utter ignorance of due process in the American judicial system. The extremists were all in agreement that if he had not been convicted, they would support street justice for him, meaning murder. One of the women said she believed thousands of unarmed black men were killed last year in the United States, where the number is actually 18. I mean, Stu, it's just stunning.
I know.
The ignorance. And you know, the racial distribution of crimes in the United States is staggering. There are 55 times more arrests for murder of blacks, killing blacks, than there are for whites killing blacks, which are relatively rare. I mean, and in New York City, for example, in 2014, just to show the racial distribution of arrests for violent crimes, 97% of the shootings were black or Hispanic, 75% black, 22% Hispanic for murder. 62% black, 32% Hispanic. That's 94% of the murders, rapes. 46% Latino, 43% black. That's 89%. If New York City were all whites, do rapes would go down by 83%, murders by 91%, shooting by 96%. So,
I know.
You know, it's fairly stunning what's going on out there. And get this, Valerie Jarrett, and what you want to appreciate about Valerie Jarrett is she is the right-hand woman to Barack Obama, slammed the cop for bringing a gun to a knife fight. I mean, this is just ludicrous. Defunded Valerie Jarrett was writing, a black teenage girl named Mahia Bryant was killed because a police officer immediately decided to shoot her multiple times in order to break up a knife fight. Demand accountability. fight for justice. Well, a commentator here observes, forgive me for white-splaining, but normally a knife fight involves two people trying to stab one another rather than one trying to stab the other holding a dog and wincing in fear. Wyatt was shot at the exact point she was thrusting a knife down at her victim in what may have been a fatal blow. That Valerie Jarrett is making this statement, Stu, is absolutely outrageous, but it's not uncommon on the radical left. Here you got a Rutgers University professor named Brittany Cooper, also black, a regular on MSNBC, waiting to criticize the officer for bringing a gun to a damn knife fight. A black girl is dead because the cops brought a gun to a damn knife fight, Cooper said. If you don't know how to de-escalate teen girls who are fighting, you should not be a police officer. I said what I said. But this is incredibly stupid, Stu. Anyone who looks at the video can see the officer had no choice. He saved the life of a black girl by acting in a timely fashion. And what it tells me, Stu, is this is just the type of case that destroys the Democrat movement to defund the police. They actually want to abolish law enforcement. They want, what, rioting and looting to become the rule of the day. It's a thin blue line that separates a civilized society from absolute chaos and mayhem. And, Stu, the Democrat Party is on the wrong side of that line.
It's called a democracy they want to enforce. Now, this Valerie Jarrett, she's an Iranian. Her parents live in Iran, as I recall. Slimeballed it to Barack Obama. A Secret Service agent told me they were on a floor in a hotel and that the Secret Service were at both ends of the hallways because of the stair casings. And they were told by Barack Obama to close the door because they were in chanting. They were chanting to whoever they were chanting to, Valerie Jarrett, Barack Obama, and several other aides. They were chanting to their Satan, doing their satanic chanting.
I'm a strong supporter of Iran as the most peaceful nation, the great nation in the world, where Iran has not launched a war of aggression against any other state since 1775. To
I'm in agreement.
The Constitution. Ratification of the Constitution began in 1787. George Washington was elected our first president in 1789. So for longer than the United States has existed as the Constitutional Republic, Iran has not launched a war of aggression against any other state. Now, in other words, Valerie Jarrett may be Iranian, but she most certainly doesn't represent Iran. Which is a great nation and a peace-loving nation. Valerie Jarrett seems to be one more scumbag and, who has aided and assisted the Barack Obama in the destruction of America, where neither of them had the best interests of the nation at heart. And, it seems to me wonderful that she's taking an action like this, so discrediting of herself, like Joy Reid, making these ridiculous statements that anyone who has seen the video would recognize were totally inappropriate and off the wall. In other words, key Democrats or spokespersons, therefore, are doing a pretty good job of self-demolition of the Democrats' defund the police agenda. And moreover, Stu, there's been a surge in the purchase of weapons across the nation because everyone knows that Biden wants to move to take away a right to keep and bear arms, and that's going to leave everyone, to defend for themselves. So I think this whole Democrat agenda here is falling apart on the right and on the left.
I've noticed an increase. I saw it today, and I have to get articles up. Two other whistleblowers, doctors, have been SWAT teamed in the middle of their sleep for speaking out First Amendment rights. I'll get more on it for you, Jim, and get it up, but they're starting to attack everybody. The ones at the lead of the game, like me, false arrest, where I'm calling to report a stalker, and they harass me instead. What a joke. By the way, the videotapes are up there, folks. You can go in and cut and paste it in your browser, and it'll work. But, Jim, They're coming after the people that are outspoken. They're trying to knock the heads off right now, the shadow government. They're after people's guns. They're after to discredit everybody. Their vaccination program's not working. They may have gotten a third of American vaccinated, but they're losing the second shot. People are getting sick, saying, I'm not going to get a second shot. They're waking up. They're learning. We got a different situation going on. And with gun sales, like you're talking about, and folks, if you got a lot of old ammo, it's wise to get some new ammo, because some of that old ammo was set and designed to fizzle itself out after 2 to 3 years. So if you got a lot of old stuff on the shelf, I'd be using the new first when the battle comes. But we're going to be in one, Jim. Now, go ahead, Jim.
So I agree with every American needs to prepare to defend themselves, because you can't count on the police, even if the police are doing their duty as they did in this instance. It can take as long as 20 minutes for the cops to respond to an emergency call. So while you're waiting for them to show up with guns because you don't have any, the mayhem tends to take place in the first 5 or 6 minutes. So in the meanwhile, your daughter may have been raped, your wife may have been murdered, you may have been mugged. So I encourage everyone out there to, if you don't own weapons, acquire them. Learn how to use them. Go to gun stores. They'll tell you where you can go to a shooting range. You learn to properly use a weapon. You must be able to defend yourself. Because if Biden and Harris are able to advance their agenda, I'm hopeful it won't happen. But if it were to happen, you must be able to defend yourself, or your life is going to be in jeopardy. Indeed, we have other of these activists talking about going into the suburbs and wealthy areas and burning down their homes. You got a woman who was actually a candidate for the city council in Minneapolis who's making that recommendation of going into white neighborhoods and burn down their homes. And Stu, I'm telling you, that's going to have a very unhappy outcome.
You know,
people who have the financial resources can hire their own security, and I guarantee you that this is not going to work out for the BLM and Antifa if they start pulling this nonsense in suburban communities.
Jim, they tried it up in Colorado Springs, and the people stood up to the plate and met them face on. This was a couple year and a half ago or whatever, and there were about 400 people showed up with the weapons, and they told them, hey, what are you doing here? They backed them up. They were going to go up there and protest and start a little fire or whatever their game was. Then in Overland Park, Kansas, they did the same thing. They went to police department, bullhorn in it, after dark, Black Lives Matter, and setting it off. And then they went into the neighborhood and started walking down streets near the police department in the neighborhood, running their mouths with the bullhorns. The people, they used to be the seventh richest county in the nation, Johnson County, Kansas, Overland Park. Now I think they're up to number 12 per capita, over 105,000 year combined income. These people walked out of their doors with guns in hand, with the wives on the phones calling the police. They told them they wanted them arrested because they were disturbing their peace. Now there was a whole bunch of them. They said there was 24 people walked out with guns, saying, "You're not going any place. You're under arrest. You're under citizen's arrest." So this is what happened to them. Now, they start that crap in America, they've got a problem, Jim. They may be able to do it downtown in their own community, in a black community in Minneapolis, and they may have been able to do it in Portland and other places where Trump tried to stop it using the military, and our Secretary of Defense refused to do his job and follow instructions. This is the reason he got fired after the election. But anyway, you wanted to touch on another subject. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. There's a very important development going on in Maricopa, Arizona, where a forensic audit is taking place of the ballots that were cast there in 2020, and the results are quite startling. It's being live streamed from 9 different angles. The inventor and data analyst, Jovan Hutton Pulitzer, has a process and patents surrounding the process where he can identify fraudulent ballots based on the paper used, creases in the paper, ink on the forms, and other characteristics. the Coliseum cameras caught election workers scanning ballots individually in ultraviolet light, where they're running true forensic testing. Now, the key about the grease is the following, Stu. If there's no grease in a ballot, that means it was never folded. And if it was never folded, it was never put in an envelope. And if it was never put in an envelope, then it was obviously never mailed. So that this is a simple way to scan absentee ballots and determine whether it's real or fraudulent, because if it doesn't include an obvious grease, it's clearly a fraudulent ballot. Now, let me tell you some of the results they're coming up with already, Stu. Absentee ballots cast from addresses other than where voters legally reside, 19,997. Absentee ballots cast that were returned on or before the postmark date, 22,903. Double voters in state, 157. Ghost voters, 5,790. Mail-in ballots, this is a big category. Cast by voters registered after the registration deadline, 150,000, Stu. Cast by voters registered after the registration deadline, 150,000. No address on file for the voter, 2,000. Non-citizen voters, 36,473. Out-of-state voters who voted in-state, 5,726. Overvotes, 11,676. The number of illegal votes here, most of them being illegal, some of them almost certainly, 254,722.
So what would Trump
obviously overwhelmingly more than necessary to overturn what happened here, where Biden, was the first Democrat candidate to win Arizona since Bill Clinton in 1996, and according to CNN, won the state by 10,457 votes. Well, here he's got over 250,000 illegitimate already discovered. And let me tell you how insulting this is. We're close to zero attendance at Biden-Harris events. In fact, they had a Biden-Harris turnout in Phoenix the day before. This was less than a month before the election, where both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were in Phoenix. There was nobody there. The news reporter even told her audience there was no one there. So if no one's going to turn up for Biden and Harris in Phoenix, less than a month from the election, how could he possibly win Arizona under these circumstances? So they're going bananas and trying to do something about it, Stu. They've hired over 70 attorneys. The Democratic Party has hired over 70 attorneys to try to defeat this effort, because, you see, when you actually do a serious review of the voting, the fraud, the immense fraud, the theft of the election becomes obvious. I mean, obvious beyond any doubt.
Now, what would Trump have made, what would he have won by? How many votes if it was legit? If it would have been a legit election down there in Arizona based on what they just found?
Oh, a couple hundred thousand votes? Without any doubt,
now,
hundreds of thousands of votes. There was no reason to think Arizona was going to go for Biden.
No.
I mean, we went to bed that night, Stu, thinking that, Arizona was in the bag, Georgia was in the bag. Then we wake up in the morning, discover, no, somehow they mysteriously went for Biden. Well, it's taken this long to arrange to undertake a legitimate forensic and review of the ballots. But I'm telling you, this is going to unleash a floodgate. Other states are very interested in the techniques being used here. This is very important, what's taking place in Arizona.
Mike Lindell, that, has the company MyPillow.com, he has a new site called Frank Speech. If you haven't seen, you should see it. He interviewed General Flynn, I think, yesterday, the day before. But he produced mass amount of evidence, and he took, I believe he said he has 25,000 employees, all did one big class action lawsuit against Dominion Software. Dominion filed a class action against them. He mentioned that. But anyway, he has the proof and evidence Minnesota was just totally stripped, that Trump won it by...
Oh, Stu, there was no way the Democrats could have won that election. I mean,
no, they didn't.
You can go all the way back to December of 2019 when Rasmussen was reporting that 40% of black likely voters were going to vote for Trump. 40% of black likely voters were going to vote for Trump, Stu. There's no way the Democrats can win any of these elections if they don't get like 90 to 95% of the black vote. So they knew what was coming. It was going to be an absolute flood for Trump. In fact, Sidney Powell released actual results of the election nationwide with a map showing virtually the whole nation had gone red, including California and Minnesota, which I'd been predicting would be the case, where Trump actually got 410 electoral votes had it been an honest count.
Well, we know he won the election all across the board, and this thing was stolen, and it was done with this Dominion and this and these voting machines, and then we got the Westar satellite, Daddy Bush's company's always involved in stealing elections, and well, it's fraudulent right before our eyes, and now we got the dictator in there. And I mean, I don't believe I'm living in this country at this time, Jim. Seriously.
Still, I know it's all bizarre beyond belief. You had a fake election. You had a fake inauguration. It was pre-recorded. It showed up in Spain 7 hours in advance. I was
watching
the broadcast that it was too early. It was 10 or 15 minutes to noon Eastern. That meant it was during the Trump administration. It wasn't even legally valid. I had a friend who was switching channels and find different parts of the inauguration were being broadcast at the same time, which means it wasn't a real-time event. It ended with a spectacular fireworks display. No one in Washington saw the spectacular fireworks display. From everything I can gather, he's been locked out of the Pentagon, locked out of the White House. This whole thing is an elaborate sham, Stu. It's unbelievable. And let me just add, the Democrats are doing everything they can to distract attention from the vote that's taking place in Maricopa County. So, you know, this audit is absolutely sensational. And what everyone wants to do is pay attention to the audit. Here's a note that showed up here. Fires, keep your eye on the audit. Shootings, keep your eyes on the audit. Murders, keep your eyes on the audit. Kidnappings, keep your eyes on the audit. Earthquake, keep your eyes on the audit. Riots, keep your eyes on the audit. Aliens from Mars, keep your eyes on the audit. Flat tire, keep your eyes on the audit. Understand?
I hear you.
That's what's going on, Stu. That's what's going on, my friend.
I hear you, Jim. I hear you. You got anything else to report on?
Well, there's always more, but I think this will do, Stu. This is what we got.
Well,
and what the public needs to understand right now, major developments. We need to restore integrity to government, and I believe the states are taking the lead.
Well, you know, they are taking the lead because it's up to the people, and our federal government is so far out of control. I mean, there's only two or three people up there I even trust in the Congress and Senate. The rest, they're not trustworthy. They're liars. They're thieves. They would do anything for the New World Order and to protect them. And, I mean, it's just out of control. Everything is. And we are going to have to take our republic one of these days and defend it because, folks, they will be at our doors. They're already starting to hit the whistleblowers like myself and others to try to neutralize because of the out there on the forefront. Jim, look at what they've tried to do to him, running over Sandy Hook, and this is the way they do it. Now, hopefully, maybe there will be justice one day, and maybe they'll all come to our doors at the same time, and it'll be the end of it. And then maybe we can take it back because we have to restore the republic once again. It is out of control. And Jim, you got any last words?
Oh, Stu, just to echo what I've said before, and when add the following thought, when they come for our guns, the time has come to use them.
That's...
Get stocked up. Be prepared. We may have to defend ourselves. We may have to battle against domestic tyranny, just as we did against in the past against foreign tyranny.
There you go, Jim. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming on with me. It's always my pleasure, and it's always my honor to have you on, Jim. You take care.
You got it, Stu.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.